Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the World of Ink Network. Founded in 2011 by Virginia Grenier and Marcia Casper Cook, their vision was to start a radio show that helped authors reach their dreams. The World of Ink Network has a wonderful group of hosts who are also authors and dedicated to delivering shows to entertain and inspire listeners. The World of Ink Network shares resources that introduce tips, products, and services to help strengthen, support, and challenge those who love writing and the written word. Their hope is to bring not only authors, illustrators, and publishers together, but screenwriters, directors, and producers. New to the network will be a variety of special shows bringing not only entertainment but informative discussions on timely subjects. To learn more about us, go to www.worldofinknetwork.com or visit us on our Facebook and Twitter pages. Thank you for your support and enjoy the show.
Welcome, everybody. Today is the Writing Mama Show with your host, Virginia S. Grenier. And I haven't been on for a while, so I'm excited to be back after a small vacation this summer. And I am back with not just a children's author, but a comedian as well, which is Joe Napolite. And I'm excited to have you on the show today, Joe. I know you were giving me a hard time right before the show, and I was already laughing.
It's my pleasure. And listen, by the way, that is the longest introduction I have ever heard or had. And I'm just wondering, do we have any time left?
Yes, we do. We do.
Okay,
I have five minutes. Can you wrap it up in five?
Holy mackerel. Who was that lady? She sounded like Mike Myers on SNL, that little sketch he used to do about the New York lady who did the introduction. That was so funny. Anyway, it's great to be here, Virginia.
Oh, I'm excited to have you. And I got to check out your book, and Marcia, who was hoping to be on the show today, and she actually just texted me because she's been, her son actually has an infection, and so she was at the hospital with him.
Oh, thanks for bumming the audience out. Okay.
I know, but it's okay.
Oh my God, there's a word you should never say in the airwaves, infection. My God.
Yeah,
and now here's Joe's book. What a
well, no.
Virginia. Well, listen, I hope her son gets better. I hope it's not a bad infection.
It's an insect bite.
Like I always say to my children, use protection, please.
Well, okay. It's an insect bite, so it's a safe one. But yeah, so she was hoping to make it to the show. Marcia and I are very candid on our shows. Can you tell us why? I let everybody know she's not here.
Well, obviously, yeah. Sure, yeah. And let's tell the people when you're not going to be home if they're in the home robbery.
Yes, we'll let people know that one. No, we never tell people we're not home. No, we're not that bad. But anyway, she may try and call in a little later. But so anyway, so it's just me today with you. But
Where am I calling in, by the way? Where are you located? Where is this show originating from?
Well, that's what I was going to tell you. We actually originate from a few different places because it's Blog Talk Radio. So Marcia's out of Chicago. I'm actually out of Utah, in the southern half of Utah. I am originally, though, from California. Yeah, but I'm originally from California. So, Southern California.
That's why I dialed a 714 area code. But let me just say that I love Chicago. I grew up in Michigan. I've worked all over Chicago, from Zany's Comedy Club to, what was the other place? Funny Bones out there in the suburbs. And there was another comedy club. I used to work there all the time. It was on a corner, and I'm blanking on the name. But I absolutely love Chicago. And, you know, Michiganders and Chicagoans are so alike. It's one of my favorite cities. And Utah, I've never actually been there, but I absolutely love the state. The prop master on my TV series, Viper, used to live in Utah, and when he showed me his home and property, I was incredibly envious. As you know, living here in California, you pay millions for a postage stamp lot. So I love both those places.
Well, thank you. Yeah. I'm pretty sure the person you worked with from Viper is probably more toward the Salt Lake Basin. I'm literally 2 hours north of Vegas, so I'm in the Red Hill section of barely inside Utah, but it's pretty. And we have a lot of land around us, unlike when I lived in California. And I was just there this summer, actually last month, and I forgot how much everything was on top of each other.
Yeah, it's getting crazy here. But on to better things.
Yes, on to better things. So I would love for you, Joe, just to kind of share a little bit of your background, because you are a comedian. You've starred in movies, so you do acting, and now you're writing. So I would love for you just to kind of talk a little bit about how your background and how you got into the writing aspect of children's book.
Well, I grew up in Michigan, and I moved out to Los Angeles, and I literally became a comedian so people would see me. It was one way to get exposure and get representation, was to get on stage, because at the time that I started doing stand-up, every major network had people going in these clubs looking for the new next star, and also agents and managers and people like that. So it was a great way to showcase your skills if you didn't have representation. And then from there, I got lucky, and George Carlin's wife saw me and booked me on the HBO's fifth annual Young Comedian Special. And I did that show with some amazing people, Paul Rubens, who is Pee Wee Herman, and Pat Proft, who wrote all the Airplane movies, and there was one other guy who I think still plays cruise ships. He was like a musician comedian, but it was a tremendous break for me. And then I started doing late night talk shows. I opened for everybody from Tina Turner to Dwight Yoakam to Barbara Mangel to Robert Goulet, OJ's. Everybody. I opened for them in Vegas, Reno, Las Vegas. And then I just started doing sitcoms and did everything from Happy Days to Murphy Brown to many other ones, and Northern Exposure, all these TV shows. And then I got a big break, and I got a show, but not really as a funny guy. I got a sci-fi adventure series called Viper, which was on for 5 seasons on NBC, and then it moved over to UPN. And I did that for 5 years, and while I was doing that, I got handpicked personally by Steven Spielberg to star in Casper as Uncle Stretch. And I've done so many other shows and TV shows, I can't even remember, in commercials, but you can see all this on joenapote.com. But what happened with the book was, how I got into writing was, when I was 16 years old, I used to work for the city of Southfield in Michigan doing puppet stories and storytelling for the children during the summer's Parks and Recreation series. And what we did is, the library there, this was incredibly advanced for the time, because this is the middle 70s. They took a school bus and they ripped out all the seats and carpeted it, painted it really fun colors inside, and put in a little puppet stage. And me and the other librarian would travel around to schools during the day who had Parks and Recreation, which was a place that your kids could go for free and be entertained and play games and baseball and what have you. And we would go to each of these schools and do an hour of puppet story and storytelling. And I would dress up in a conductor's uniform, and I was Conductor Joe. And it was really quite an experience. It was so much fun for me. Well, one morning, my wife designated me to make breakfast for all of my children and her. And I was making eggs, and my son likes his eggs a certain way. My daughter likes her eggs a certain way. And my wife, wants hers a certain way. And I like them a certain way. And I was getting overwhelmed. And all of a sudden, the egg just started talking to me. It just came alive. And I came up with this character, Eggy Yolk. And I was like, oh my God, what a great character. And I had to then conceive a way to communicate a story using this character, because then all of the other characters came to life, and they were Fried Freddy, Scrambled Sammy, Poached Petey, Coddled Corrigan, and it goes on and on and on. So I came up with a way to create a story, and I did it in a Western theme, because when my children were small, I would go to the bookstore, and I was, you know, buying books and reading them to them, and I noticed that no one had done a Western theme in a long time, and I wanted to be different and original. So I took these characters and I put them in a Western theme, and I wanted to write a book, being a comedian, I wanted to write a book that was funny for children and funny for adults, that the parent would have as much fun reading the book as the child would, you know? And so that's what I tried to do, but it has a very subtle message. My book is a very subtle anti-bullying book, but you'd never know it. And that's what I think is really cool about it. But it also reinforces really great goals and values and morals like loyalty, commitment, courage, honesty, and integrity with two G's, because the book is full of egg puns. So the first series is called Eggy Yolk and the Dirty Rotten Dozen. The second one is called Eggy Yolk and the Evil Salmonella. And then we have Eggy Yolk and the Evil Egg Foo Young Gang. And we're really trying to turn this into an animated series. Me and my publisher, Rick Dees, who is a radio legend, former late night talk show host, and he also wrote that song that I'm sure you remember and everybody remembers. It was a number one hit called Disco Duck. And Rick immediately loved the book and saw the potential that and my vision for an animated series, because I just thought it was such a great thing to have the most fragile thing on earth, an egg, which we all are at the beginning of our lives, to communicate these things, but do it in a very entertaining, funny, and educational way. And that's the longest I've ever talked in one sentence.
No, that's great. That wrapped up a lot. And yeah, I did pick that up when I was reading Eggy Yolk and the Dirty Dozen, that, you know, obviously, you know, everything you talked about, but that subtleness of the anti-bullying, which has been very big right now in children's books. And I love the fact that you're using an egg, because it is so different from all the other books out there, because everybody usually uses, you know, either kids or animal characters, and all of a sudden here's this group of eggs.
Right. There are all these books, and you know, you find books about trying to break the barriers of racism and anti-bullying, but they're done in such a matter-of-fact way that for me, I just wanted to be a little different and say, look, you can tell a joke. And, you know, the theory is that a part of a joke is always true. And, you know, being a comedian for 35 years, it is. Part of a joke is always true. But you can communicate these things and just be very subtle and let the kid, you know, find out on his own these morals, these values. You don't have to pound it into him or show it to him, and he'll remember it and enjoy the memory of you know, what he's reading even later on in life. He'll go, oh my, you know what, it's like, well, I grew up during the era of Rocky and Bullwinkle. I didn't get half of the jokes at the time, and if I can't happen to catch, you know, a Rocky and Bullwinkle rerun now, I go, oh my God. Oh my, you know, it's wonderful. Yeah. So that's what I was trying to do. That was my goal.
No, and I think you did a really great job with that, because you're welcome. My girls, they love to read, and I'm lucky for that. My son was a little bit harder to get to read, but he liked the Captain Underpants type series, because it was, you know,
sure,
exactly your career. creating with your series, it has the humor in it. It has truth in there as well, but it's done in such a subtle way that, you know, this is such a great book for beginning, you know, emerging and beginning readers, because it is, you know, within the picture book thing, and it has that humor that a lot of the, you know, especially boys don't see until they get more into like the chapter book, you know, genre. So right. I love that you did this in a picture book format for that younger group. Hard to read.
Yeah. And we do have to mention about the pictures. The way I originally wrote this book, I kind of wrote it almost as a novel. And when I went to write it as a picture book, you know, there's all these rules and regulations about how many words you can have, how many pages, what's appropriate, what's not appropriate. And I have to say that the book, my original book, I gave to my sister, who is a brilliant artist. And she, you know, created the illustrations based on that very first draft. And then I realized all the things I was doing wrong when it came to publishing a children's book. And I literally rewrote this book over 100 times, down to the bare essentials of what I could and still make it appropriate for children publishing. And I know you know what I'm talking about there.
Oh, yeah.
But it was very difficult. But her illustrations are so brilliant. They're so magnificent. And she's been sort of my sounding board and my, you know, that person who let me just say that she edited thousands of my jokes out that she said would not be appropriate or would not be right for this, because when you get into this kind of a book with these egg puns and jokes, it's unbelievable what you can do. Well, I'll give you an example. You know, I had a joke, a great joke for a saloon, you know, for this book, and we could not, she told me it wouldn't be right to have a joke about drinking or a saloon with children. And I was, I fought her tooth and nail on it, but she eventually won. I'm glad she did, because it wouldn't be appropriate. So when I go to schools now and bookstores for signings, I actually show a little video, 3-minute video of me on everything from Casper to Sweet Life on Deck, where I played Uncle Marco, and then I actually do 5 minutes of stand-up for the children, and then I read the books and take questions and answers about writing and rewriting and what's appropriate and what's not. And it's a great show. It's a 45-minute stand-up book reading show for children and adults and teachers.
No, it sounds like a great, you know, program, and I'm sure they absolutely love it. I mean, you, like I said, you know, you were giving me a hard time right before the show. I mean, you're a really funny guy, and you know, I'm sure the kids just eat it up. Now, do you find when you're working with the kids, and I there's an author out here, his name's Rick Walton, and he actually started in rhyme and humor books when he got into picture books. And I've been to a few, when he's gone to school visits, I've been to a few of his visits to watch him. And I'm assuming you're more dynamic than Rick is, and Rick's pretty dynamic when he does his thing. Do the kids really get into trying to understand how to put humor into the writing? Because that's one thing I think a lot of people struggle with, is trying, everybody always gets so serious when they write, that to let that humor flow into it. I mean, because you're, you know, obviously you're a comedian, so you're used to writing, you know, scripts like that. But what would you say to people who want to try, you know, especially kids who love to write, to get that humor element into their writing?
Well, I'll tell you what, at I think 3 or 4 of the schools that I have gone in, where they booked me, and you know, I'm available for bookings on eggyolk.com, eggyyolk.com. The teachers, the educators, when I have finished my readings and signings, I have gotten in the mail letters from children, and I have them all that we're going to be putting up on the website. I have letters from children thanking me for coming to their school and performing in the dialogue of like how I wrote my book with jokes, them creating all these new egg words, you know, to try and thank me for coming to their schools. And I'll tell you, it's so touching. It's so fantastic. We've actually put a few of the letters up on eggyyolk.com right now. But the main thing that I, to answer your question, would be, you know, you have to be honest with yourself. Some people are funny, and they should go for it. And some people aren't funny, and, you know, they should write what they feel they know and what they're good at. It's hard to write humor. You know, I don't try to be funny. It just comes out of me. And sometimes, you know, it's got to be the appropriate venue. But sometimes you can try to be funny and you're not funny. Okay. And this happens a great deal with my wife. Okay. Where she goes, "That's not funny." And I go, "Yes, it is." And she goes, "No, it's not." And then I'm sleeping on the couch for, you know, the weekend. But humor is a really weird thing. Comedians have been talking about this for years. Writers have been talking about it for years. I've just done so many talk shows where I've gotten this question, and there is no answer. You can break it down as literally as you want, but it's, you know, it's who you are. And if you can communicate it in a way that's funny, I think you'll be successful. That's what I tried to do. I just tried to write a story that was original, funny, and had some morals and values, you know, of the times that I grew up, because I really don't see that anymore, really, for children. I mean, there are a few shows right now, early morning Saturday, that still go by that. You know, there are a lot of them are Christian based, and I think that's great for when your kid is 3, 4, 5, 6 years old now, you know.
Yeah, well, and I love that you brought that up. So you know, how you're pulling from some of your values and things when you were a kid. Is there any like storyline in your series of books, or any character in the Eggy Yolk series that is you, or is at least relatively based off you? Because I know a lot of writers tend to do that. I know with my picture books, my first book that actually both my picture books I've written are both from my childhood. So, or based off things that happened in my childhood. So I'm just wondering, did you pull some of that into your writing as well?
Well, that is so funny you asked me that, and I've gotten, yeah, some people asked me that before, but no, none of them are. I actually associate, if you had to ask me, with the bad guy in the book, Hard-Boiled Harry. Hard-Boiled Harry is the leader of the Dirty Rotten Dozen, and you know, I'm a voice guy. If people remember Casper, I'm Uncle Stretch, and I've done many others. I did a wonderful book series called What a Mess Out of England. It was a animated series on ABC for 3 years, and I was the voice of Trash, the mean-talking junkyard dog. So I love voices, and I have the voice for Hard-Boiled Harry. So when I was writing Hard-Boiled Harry, his lines, they just flowed out of me. Now for Eggy, when I was writing his lines and trying to, you know, be, he's a guy that I saw, very quiet, had a good sense of humor and stuff, but he's more like my sister. And so, she kind of helped me with his dialogue a little bit as to what she thought he would say and what he didn't. For instance, I would have some lines that he said to the bad guy, and she said, you can't have him say that because it's a negative and Eggy wouldn't be that way. So she was more or less the Eggy, and I'm more or less Hard-Boiled Harry, I guess.
That's cute.
Yeah.
I've also noticed, because you've mentioned this a few times, you know, as we've been talking, that you know, you've obviously your sister's been very involved with the book. So it sounds like you've had a pretty good support. So what did it take to, you know, to get Rick Dees and your sister and everybody on board with you in writing this series? Because, you know, sometimes family and friends can be really supportive, and sometimes like, yeah, I'll support you when it comes out, but you know, they just kind of let you do your thing. So what was it like working with these guys and getting this whole series together?
Well, it was relatively simple. I mean, my sister, the minute I showed her the idea and the book, she immediately illustrated them for me in these beautiful watercolor illustrations that I have here. And they're, like I said, they're absolutely brilliant. When people see them in person, they go wild. That's the first thing they mention, because when you're scanning a picture book, you don't really read the words. You're just looking at the pictures, and they immediately say that. Now, as far as with Rick Dees, the way it happened, it was really funny, because I had gone into their studios to pitch a couple ideas for Rick for television, because he owns a production company also. And as I was pitching the ideas, I was putting all my notes back into my briefcase, and well, I don't really have a briefcase. It was more or less a bag. I was just throwing everything back in. And Rick said he saw the colors and stuff of this book, and it wasn't anything in the form that it is now. And he said, "What is that?" And I said, "Oh, it's a children's book I'm working on with my sister." And then I showed him the title, and then he read a couple of pages. And this is after he turned me down for the two ideas I had pitched. He said, "They're great ideas. We're not interested. Thank you very much." And then he says, "What is that?" And I said, "This is what it is." And he looked at me and he said, "I'll do that right now." And I said, "What?" Wow. And he said, "The book." He goes, we'll publish the book, but I want to make it into an animated series." And I said, "Really?" And he goes, "Yes, right now." And that's how it happened. It was just so weird that it happened that way, but that's how it happened.
And I love that story, because, you know, it's so true. A lot of times, you know, you'll be going in for, and I've heard that, because like I said, I used to work out in California. I actually worked out in Hollywood, and it always seemed like that. You'd always go out to like pitch one thing, and something that was totally not what you were ready to present ends up becoming the thing that goes forward. So that's great.
It is great. You know, when I was doing Viper in Vancouver, because we moved production up there, as many productions did in the 90s, because California was just so expensive to film, a friend of mine went in to pitch two ideas to a very, very big producer. And the man has produced among his films, The Godfather. And he went in to produce, to pitch, and they turned him down. And as he's walking out the door, he pitched my idea for a film, which we renamed The Angel and the Mobster. And they bought it. So he called me and he said, "I got good news and bad news." I said, "What?" He goes, "The bad news is they turned down my ideas." He goes, "The good news is they like yours." And I said, "What are you talking about?" He goes, "The idea that you had," because I had told him about it. And so we ended up writing a script and we sold it to Fox Family Channel. But it was never actually produced. But it was really fun, and we wrote the script and we got paid for it, and we got another credit, and you know, moved on from there. But that's how things work in life, you know. It just, yeah. You're looking for a parking spot, you can't find one, and then all of a sudden one opens up right there by the door. So
exactly. No, it's true. And I love that you're sharing this, because Marcia and I, when we do a lot of these shows, you know, we have a lot of debut authors who come on, or you know, people who talk about writing. And Marcia and I work with a lot of authors off the radio as well, and a lot of them get really discouraged with this process. And we always tell them, you know, you got to keep moving forward, and just, you know, check, you know, whatever happened, just, you know, checked off the side and not worry about it. Because, you know, like exactly what happened with your book. I mean, you just never know when the opportunity is just going to fall right in front of you. And you're like, oh, I didn't expect that. So what are you guys going to, do you have like a set number of books that you guys are planning to write with the Iggy Yoke series? Or is it just kind of as the ideas come, you'll write them, and if it only ends up being like six books, that's what it is? Or did you guys
we haven't really gone there, because the book is so brand new. What we're trying to do now is, the book just came out. We actually launched it last week on Good Day LA, which is a pretty big local show here in Los Angeles. It comes on at 9 o'clock in the morning here, so it's right after all the morning shows. And Rick officially launched the book then. And what we're hoping to do is, like I said, you know, follow the street to make this into an animated series. That's what it really is. And we do have other books ready to go when we're ready. We didn't print a whole lot of books, and we've already sold quite a bit, and we're only selling them off of eggyyoke.com. But we're just playing it by ear, because I'm really not interested in making more books. What I'm interested in is hitting a really big audience, target audience, and making it into an animated series, because I personally think that the book is even better on an animated series, to hear these characters come alive with their own voices and their own personality. I think it's something they definitely do in the book, but I think it'll even make a bigger impact, you know, in animation. Some books are great as books, and some, I think, you know, have a life after that. My favorite book of all time, I can't believe I'm going to give somebody else credit here or a plug, but my favorite book of all time that I read to my children was a book called Gilbert de la Frog Pond. And I don't know if you're familiar with the book, but no, it is so fantastic. It's so great. And there's a book that is just, it's just a great book. I don't know if it has the legs to become, you know, and it's really funny because it's about a frog. So I don't know if it has the frog legs to be an animated series. Maybe it does. But that was a book that I absolutely loved and read to my kids. So as far as, you know, more books, we definitely have them ready to go if the market calls for it.
Yeah, no, it makes sense. And I agree with you from, you know, what I, looking through, you know, the Iggy Yoke and the Dirty Rotten Dozen. Got to get the name right. I mean, it is. It's, I could see those characters, you know, but, literally walking around.
Yeah, well, here's the great thing that I wanted to tell you is that no matter what, see, Iggy is a character that can transcend time. So if you said to me, well, who are the other characters? Now, the Dirty Rotten Dozen are not in the second book, and they're not in the third or the fourth. They're done. But I have over 50 other regular characters for this book. But if you said to me, hey, could we write a book about, ancient Rome or ancient China or the Civil War or the future? Iggy and a whole host of other characters can come to life and create a story that is, like I said, educational and entertaining as well. So that's what I kind of envisioned when I first thought of this. I thought, oh, wow, it's endless. And here's the beauty. The egg puns that I use in this book, I only use once, and you can come up with millions of other ideas for other scenarios. So that was really fun. As I was writing it, I could there was so much going into my head as far as what the possibilities, the opportunities are for future books and episodes if we do get it made into an animated series.
Oh yeah, no, and I agree. I mean, you definitely have a character that can definitely transcend, you know, past many generations. I mean, and that's what's so great about this. You know, it's I really, you know, do hope it takes off and continues to go the way it is for you guys, because if you think about it, I mean, how many people go back to Dr. Seuss books? You know, how many people go back to the critter books? I mean, it's because those characters, those type of books, just transcend across generations, and I see that with Iggy and, you know, and what you guys are doing. So I definitely think you're right on the money when it comes to this, you know.
Thank you. Yeah, I really hope it does take off. It does work. And like I said, we have a wonderful interactive site that people who have purchased the book. They've been sending in pictures of their children reading the book, and we post them on our Facebook page. The Facebook page is Eggy Yolk and the Dirty Rotten Dozen, and the website is eggyyolk.com. And we also have an area, a little place there on the website where we have a page called A Dozen Jokes by Eggy Yolk, and we encourage kids to come up with their own original egg joke and email it to us, and then we post them on the website as well. So it's been so much fun, and I love performing for kids. It's really great performing for kids instead of a bunch of drunk adults on a Friday or Saturday night, which I've been doing for 30 years. Because, you know, some of the dialogue that I have, the interaction after the reading with these kids is amazing. They, like I said, they watch the video of me, and sometimes you've had two or three questions in a row about writing, and then some kid will refer back to the video that I played, and they'll ask me, something about Casper or something about Sweet Life on Deck, because that episode that I did on Sweet Life on Deck is played literally like every week or every 2 weeks. And when the kids see me, they all like gasp. They know exactly who I am. And that's kind of fun.
Oh, yeah. I bet. Well, and kids are so creative. Speaking about how the kids submit, you know, big jokes to you, is there ever an opportunity where you guys might use some of those jokes that you get submitted from the kids? Because I know that kids love to see that stuff happen. So is that anything that might happen in the future?
Sure. If a kid wrote a joke that was absolutely brilliant and that I saw that I could use in a book for a future book, of course I would contact that person. There isn't a comedian on television that you see who is the host of their own show, and I don't care who it is, who doesn't have a team of writers writing those jokes, and they're all Harvard graduated writers. So, I would absolutely take a joke from someone, and we'd have to, you know, of course, do it legally and appropriately, and have their joke in the book and give them credit for it. But it would have to fit the series of books that we're doing.
No, but I think that's great that you have the that you're willing to offer that to kids, because
sure,
they just thrive when they get to see stuff like that happen someone loves what they have to say.
Yeah. Well, listen, I had to give, based on what you just asked me, I had to give credit to my son. I wanted to do just a little extra for this book, and I, like every great cartoon, you know, SpongeBob, you know, you can think of the theme song immediately. Kids can, to a lot of, you know, when I grew up, Mighty Mouse, Felix the Cat, all the great cartoons when I was growing up, you remember the theme song even today. I wanted to create a ballad for Eggie, and so I had half of it written, and I couldn't come up with the other half. And my son, who is really brilliant, a rapper. He's a rapper. One of the things that he can do is he can rhyme unbelievably and intelligently. So we were in Costco right before the book came to print, and I was just so stressed out. I couldn't come up with the last half of this ballad, and he did it in 2 seconds right in front of me. It's on the last page of the book, and I had to give him credit, and it's written right there. It says, you know, all rights reserved by Joe Napoti and Gabriel Napoti, because he came up with the last half of the song. So if anybody did that, I'd probably have to do the same.
Oh, no, that's great. That's fun. It's fun that your son was able to come up with something like that. I just love listening to you talk about your book, because it just, you've worked with so, you know, family and, you know, just so many different people. I love that. Oh, it's been, you know, a huge support team effort in many ways, you know, in helping make this, you know, come to life.
Yeah, it definitely was a family effort. But just if anybody out there is listening and they're thinking of the same thing, just I want them to understand this. My family hates me now because of this book. They absolutely, because I went to them for every joke, every pun, day in, day out, morning till night, and they got so sick of me and sick of the book for a period of time until it came out. They didn't want to hear anything about it, you know, and unless you're a true comedian or it's your actual work, you know, no one else really cares. But it helped me. They were great. My daughter and son were a little younger at the time, so I would constantly read the book to them and kind of see where, because that's a great point that I should bring up. You know, when I first started this book, that's exactly what I did, is I went and offered myself to a couple of schools, and I performed the book live, just like a comedian does, doing stand-up. So when you write a joke, you know, you go on stage and you try to squeeze that joke in the middle of your set, and you hope it works. And if it doesn't, you know, you go home and you rewrite it, but you hone it night after night after night. And that's what I did with this book. Being a performer, I had the opportunity to perform it for children, and I could see where I had their interest and where I lost them. And then I would go back and try to rewrite that section or that, you know, those lines to make it a little more funny, to make it more interesting to them. And that helped me a great deal.
Yeah. So here's the question for you, Joe, as we get to this show, because the book's written about eggs, and like you said, your family hates you because you just kept sharing this book day in and day out, night and day with them. So does nobody in your family eat eggs anymore? I mean, are they like anti-eggs now?
That's all we eat. That's all. And do you know what the price of eggs are right now? It's crazy. Especially in California, it's like $5 a dozen. I don't know there's something going on between the chickens and the gas here in California, because we're at $5 a gallon and $5 a dozen. There's a conspiracy somewhere. I don't know what it is, but something's going on.
And it might get higher because, you know, as your book gets popular, you know, the egg market's going to see, hey, we can raise the price because eggs are like, you know, the trend now.
Right. Well, that's another thing. You know, we've had a few inquiries, but there's some egg companies out there that, you know, Egg Yolk would be the greatest spokesman for their, what a better way to get your kid to eat more eggs, you know, than Egg Yolk.
Well, it's been great talking to you. We are coming to the top of our hour. So is there anything that you would like to leave with listeners? Obviously, you shared the website for Iggy Yoke. Is there anything else you'd want to push out there for our listeners to go check out after they listen to the show today?
Well, if you order the book and you go to eggyyoke.com, I will personally autograph the book for you. If you just in the little message there, tell me who you want the book autographed to. If there are any teachers, educators, bookstores in your area or anyone who hears this and they're interested in having me come to the school, they can contact me through Joe Nipote, Nipote.com or eggyyoke.com, and we'll arrange it where I come. And there's pictures and letters of recommendation from other teachers and principals on the website. And there's a whole PDF flyer that details everything that I do in my reading for the children. So with school starting here in a little while, it's the perfect time to book me if we can work it out, and I'll fly to your city and we'll have a great time.
Oh, it sounds like it. And I'm definitely gonna let our schools know about, you know, I told them I was gonna send them show afterwards, and definitely have them looking to having you, because with me being director of our book festival here in St. George, I think it would be phenomenal to have you come out and do this with your book. I'd love
to come out there, and you can introduce me and we'll have a great time and we'll read one of your books.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't think my books are probably as good as yours. I loved your book. I was like,
oh, don't worry about that. Every book is good if it's published. I'm sure it's fine. I'm sure it's wonderful. But I'll even read it. I'll make it better for you.
Oh, okay. Yeah, but I definitely would love to see you come out here and share your presentation in your book, because it's a really great story. I love it. And so I do wish you much success. And I would love to see this become a series on TV. My kids, you know, they tend to like shows like this. I mean, they're huge SpongeBob fans. And so, I'll cross my fingers for you guys, because I'd love to see a show on some of the television, TV shows out there, because I agree there's not enough out there like this. But it's been great having you, Joe, and I wish you, the best. And, hopefully as things go on, maybe we can have you back on the show later and you can update us on how things are going.
Absolutely. Anytime. It was a pleasure being on your show. And again, remember aggieoak.com, and thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye.
And I just want to let our listeners know really quick that we do have some shows coming up here on Blog Talk Radio for the rest of the week. Some of the shows that we have coming up are, I have to pull it up. It always seems like this always lags. We do have a lot of our hosts taking a hiatus, but the upcoming show that we have right now in our system, you can go to worldofinknetwork.com, see the different shows. You can also go to blogradio.com/worldofinknetwork. And has her show tomorrow, which is her Good Stories. She is going to have a songwriter on the show. It's special. A lot of them are from the national area. We have Keisha Boza, host Charles Levine Network. G and Gil Snyder will be on. And then Brian Diteschi will also be on. So if you are into music, country music, into what's going on in Nashville, definitely tune into that show tomorrow. It looks like it will be airing at 9 p.m. Eastern. And then we also have coming up as well, which is on Thursday of this week, Marsha will be on again with Leah Michaels. And that will be a special World of Ink show. And it looks like they are going to be talking about contemporary romance novels, historic romance, and nonfiction books. So if that's a genre you're into, definitely tune into that show. And then let's see, we also have coming up Mary McNair, who's a best-selling author, and that will be on August 4th. So that's what we have lined up right now for the World of Ink Network. But of course, there's always other shows that may come into play. So you can follow us at World of Ink Network on Facebook and Twitter. Twitter, and then, of course, worldofinknetwork.com for our website, and at blogtalkradio.com/worldofinknetwork. We thank you for listening today. Definitely check out Eggy Yolk and the Dirty Rotten Dozen, which is eggyyolk.com. And we wish you all a great week. Bye-bye.
Follow me to the World of Ink.